Morning, happy Father's Day for those whom it is relevant. We are still dealing with Absalom's rebellion. And we last left when Absalom asked leave of David to go to Hebron, and David sends him off with a Lech B'Shalom, you're gone, you're out of here. Here a little bit, there we go. Then Absalom leaves. And he does three things. So we are in Shmuel Bet, Perek Tet Vav, Pasuk Yud. This is where it starts to get exciting. This is where the drama starts. This is the great battles are moving forward from here very quickly. But we're going to go very slowly across. That's the way I learned. So the three things, Pasuk Yud, Vayishlach Avshalom Meraglim. Avshalom sent spies. B'chol Shivtei Yisrael Le'mars, throughout all of Israel, saying the following, K'shamachem et kol ha-shofar, when you hear the shofar blast, Amartem, then you'll say, Malach Avshalom b'Hebron. Avshalom is now, has declared himself king in Hebron.
Malach or Melech?
Now I didn't put the kudot in here. That is a good question. Let's actually look at it inside. Tetva, Pasuk Yud. It is Malach. It's the verb. Right? He has become king. Okay, that's number one, is that he's setting up spies throughout all of Israel, waiting for his signal. Number two, Avshalom halchu matayim ish mirshalayim. And he brings with him, and he's gotten leave to go to Hebron to fulfill his vows. He's actually taking 200 ish men from Yerushalayim. Kru'im v'holchim l'tumam, who were invited and were going innocently. Lo yidu kol davar, and they had no idea what was going on. So if you look at these 200 men, who apparently are not part of the Meraglim, not part of the conspiracy, they're just going with Avshalom to the party. Vayishlach Avshalom and Achitofel ha-Giloni. And then he also sends for Achitofel, which we've looked at before. That is David's advisor, one of the main military strategists.
And is also Bathsheba's grandfather?
Bathsheba's grandfather, yes. Okay. Yes. Bathsheba's
grandfather.
Wow. Bathsheba Shalom at Achitofel Giloni, Yoetz David, David's advisor. Meiro Migilo, he gets him from his city in Gilo. Zavchoat Hezvachim, while he, this is Avshalom, is offering is having his big barbecue. We're going to look at that barbecue. But he akesher omets, and the conspiracy became very strong. But amolech v'rav et Avshalom, and everyone's coming to Avshalom. Everyone's going with Avshalom. Everyone's joining Avshalom. So that's the three psukim we have to look at now. So the first one is the signal to his co-conspirators. We haven't seen any co-conspirators. We don't know nothing about them, but clearly they exist. He's got somebody throughout, as it is, b'chol shivtei Yisrael. He's got people everywhere who are waiting for his signal to start establish his new government. And he's talking about shamachem et kol ha-shofar, listening for the shofar. Which the shofar is a call to war. And yeah, I want to quote this. These are psukim from talking about what you do when war is coming. Source 2. This is Yecheskel. Ben Avdam. Yecheskel is being addressed. A human being. Daber al b'nei amecha, go speak to your people. V'mar tell him. You tell them. Eretz ki avi alecher. If there's a land that the sword comes to, that battle starts. V'chu am aretz ish echad mitzehem v'nu itolehem letzapa. And one of the people, take one of them. And it appoints that person as a lookout. Okay? If they're worried about battle, one person to look out. And the lookout is looking out and can see the army coming toward their land. The Takaba Shofar is here at the arm. That's his job. The sound of the siren. That's what Tekel Shofar means. And warn the people. Veshama Hashomea Tekel Shofar Vlodis Har. And someone hears a shofar and isn't careful, doesn't take that into account. But and is killed in this war, Damo Baroshoia. And that's person's fault. Once you hear the shofar, you know something's happening. It's your responsibility to deal with it. But so fek yiret acherev. But if the lookout sees an army coming, the sword coming, lo takav shofar, it doesn't bother blowing his shofar. But amlo nizhar, and the people are not warned. But tavov acherev b'tikach mehem nefesh, and the sword cometh, and people die. Hu ba'avano nilkach, v'damo miyad tofe edrosh. Then it's the lookout whose fault it is. As soon as hearing the shofar, we see that over and over again. If you hear the sound of a shofar, then something significant is happening. And that's the tekiah specifically. The trua is a different symbol. And similarly, we see in shoftim all the time. That's how they call people to battle. This is by Ehud, by Ibavo, by Itakab shofar b'har Ephraim. Ehud blows the shofar at Har Ephraim. They do a mo b'nei Yisrael min ahar. And then the all B'nai Yisrael come to fight with Ehud leading them. So that's his first signal. He's going to have people blowing shofar, and presumably they blow the shofar, and then they blow the shofar. So now everybody who's been secretly being planned for these, what we estimated 3 to 4 years, will be aware, and they will start. They will come together to start this war. The second
is
thing
it
he does.
Possible that he hoped for a peaceful coup. And the shofar is to declare him king and not, you know, shofar is blowing a lot of different reasons.
Right. So it might be. It's not clear that he's doing anything to talk to David there. I mean, we'll see what he does is assemble this army and then move on to Yerushalayim. He never sends a messenger to speak to David about this.
No, but, you know.
Okay. So, and in fact, what happens is peaceful, at least to start. In other words, David runs away.
But I don't remember where I learned it, but I do think you blew different notes on the shofar for different purposes.
Yes. And that's specifically
so in, I don't know. I think when you're declaring a king, it's one thing. When you're declaring war, it's another. I don't know. I mean, I can't remember the exact details, but the notes meant something as to what the shofar was telling you.
Right. And we'll have to see what he does. Because as soon as, well, tell you what's coming up. As soon as David hears that Avshalom has declared himself king, David runs away. And then Avshalom comes peacefully, takes over Yerushalayim. It's Achitofel who encourages him. We need to kill David.
Mm.
We'll see that. That's coming. And then there is a grand battle and a civil war, and many die.
Mm.
Does not end well for anybody. But that's the shofar. And you're right. You can read this. Is this simply an announcement of Malach, or is that a call to war? I think Avshalom would be happy to do this peacefully. I don't think he necessarily wants to kill his father. He just wants to take over. The second thing he does is these Matayim Ish Mi Yerushalayim, these 200 men from Yerushalayim that are going with him. What are they doing? Now, they're explicitly called Lo Yadu Davar. They have no idea what's going on. They're not conspiring with him. But Avshalom tells his father he's filling a neder. That's what he said, that he wants to go to Hebron to fulfill the neder that he made when he was in Geshur, when he was in Aram, that if he came back to Yerushalayim, he would fulfill this neder. What was the nature of this neder? We kind of said that before, because the puzzle connected to the fact he let his hair grow long. So he is off, and what he's doing, it says, is that he is zavchot zvachim. He's offering zvachim, which are shlamim. Those are offerings where the fat is offered on a mizbeach. It's before the Beit Hamikdash, so you can do that on a bama anywhere. And the blood sprinkled, but the meat was actually eaten by the people. But what kind of zvachim are we talking about? The connection we talked about before was the fact that we're so concerned about Avshalom's hair being grown so long, that connected to the Nazir. That the neder that he took was, if I get back to Yerushalayim, I will be a Nazir. So that's the way the Mishnah puts it. Source 4. Tanya. Rabbi Omer, Avshalom Nazir Olam Haya. Avshalom was a Nazir Olam. Normal Nazirut is for a finite period of time. He was one, and we asked that last time. He was a Nazir. Hey there. He was a Nazir forever. There wasn't any endpoint. And what's the halakha about a Nazir Olam? And this is all halakha Moshe Misinai. We don't see that in the text, this idea. But Magaleach Echad V'Shneimasar Chodesh. You could get a haircut once every 12 months. And it says, and we have a hint from Avshalom when it says that he would get a haircut, Miketz Yamim, every year he would get a haircut. And the Mishnah continues, source 5. Ma ben Nazir Olam leNazir Shimsho. There are two kinds of Nizirut that are permanent. One is Shimshon, who was a Nazir from the moment he was born. One is when you take a vow of Nazir Olam. And the Mishnah says, Nazir Olam, Ichbid Sa'aro Mekel Bitar. Yeah, Nazir Olam, when his hair gets too long, that's a pain, he can cut it off, he can trim it with a razor, Mevi Shalosh Behemot, and brings a carbon with three animals. We'll have to look at that. The imnitma, but is not allowed to become tamel mint. Imnitma may be carbon tuma, but he has to bring a carbon there. Nazir Shimshon, that kind of nizirut, those laws there, he's not allowed to cut his hair at all, but there's no isser of tuma. And Rashi reads this. What you say is Harani Nazir Olam, Harani Nazir. You say, take a vow, I am a Nazir Olam. That's not a vow. Don't quote that, even though it's on the internet now. It's Nazir Kol Yimei Chaliyah. He's a Nazir forever. Amar Harei Nazir Olam Mashma Nazir Kibel Olam Ad Olam, that I am going to do this forever. And so every time he cuts his hair, he has to bring three behemot. This is Tosfos explaining that B'shasha Mikil Halacha Moshe Misinai, that every time he cuts his hair, this is Halacha Moshe Misinai. It's not in the text. Basmachta be Avshalom, and there's a hint from Avshalom. We're not learning the halacha from Avshalom. Gemara is saying that this is Halacha Moshe Misinai. We knew that from the tradition. But we're fitting that halacha of Nazirut into Avshalom's story. That this ceremony
was Shmuel a Nazir Olam?
He was. I don't know whether it was one, which of these two categories it was.
Okay.
Since he led them in battle, I suspect it's a Nazir Shimshon kind of model. Where he didn't cut his hair, but he was Tamei Met. Right, we know that because he's killed the king of Amalek.
Mm.
If he, in fact, was a Nazir Olam, these two different models of Nazirut, he shouldn't have done that. So we're going to look at this is the Torah in Parshat Naso about what a Nazir has to bring. So we're saying, Zot Hadat HaNazir. This is a procedure for a Nazir. Yom Lo Yemein Yisrael. When he fulfills his Nazirut, normal Nazir, it's a month, however long you want it, at the end of this. And Halacha Moshe Misinai, this is the same procedure every time you cut your hair if you're Nazir Olam. Yaviyo to petach ol moed, he would go to the front of the ol moed, yikriv a karbano l'Hashem, and brings his karban. What's the karban? Keves ben shato tamim achad l'olah, one-year-old sheep as an ola, so that's all burned. V'chivsa achad bashatat tima l'chatat, and a female lamb for a chatat, also that's all burned. And one ram as a shlamim. That's what you eat. Basal matzot and a basket of matzah. So the chalot b'lop hashemen, ukei matzot mushuchim b'shamen, which consisted of chalot, which Rashi translates in shlach as tortillas. One of those great laissez Rashi actually recognized the word tortilla. So it was a basket of chalot matzot, unleavened chalot, erukim matzot, and unleavened wafers. So you have to be yotzi both the Sephardi and the Ashkenazi matzahs here. The soft ones and the hard ones, whichever one you wanted, u'minchatam iskehem, and the appropriate flour offering and wine offering. Ikriva kohen lefnei Hashem, and the kohen offers it, basar chatato v'talato, and burns the chatat and the ola. At the ayel, yaseh zevach shlamim. That's the zevach, is this ram. Hashem ala sal matzot, with all these matzahs, v'asa kohen et minchato v'yosko, and he offers the flour offering and the wine, libation. Now he's got this massive amount of meat and a whole lot of bread. That's a lot of barbecue. That's a lot of hamburgers. Yilacha Nazir Pesach Ol Moed at Rosh Nizro, and the Nazir cuts his hair in front of the Ol Moed. Lakach et Sa'ar Rosh Nizro, and he takes his hair, Natan Al Eish, and burns that on the fire. Shetachat Zebach HaShlamim. Burns the hair. Lakach HaKohen Zro B'Shelah Min Ha'ayil, and the Kohen gets the Kohen's portion, which is the foreleg, and cooks it. B'Chalat Matzah Achat, Min Asal, Rukit Matzah Achat, and one of each of these different kinds of matzah. Natan Kapeh HaNazir Achar Kohen Zro, and puts it on the hands of the Nazir after he cuts his hair. And the Kohen leads him in waving it in front of the altar, Kodesh Ruach Kohen, and dedicates the Kohen. That's what the Kohen eats. This is the waved brisket and the waved foreleg. And then the Nazir can drink wine. This is the procedure for Nazir that vows a carbon for Hashem on the Israel before being a Nazir, but besides everything else that he can afford. Whatever kind of vow he makes, that's what he has to offer. So this is the minimum. The three animals, we talked about the Shalosh Behemot, that he offers, that's the minimum. You can offer more than that. As Rashi says here, Chalot Matzot Rukim Matzot, these matzahs he brings, Eser Mikol Min, is 10 of each kind. So that's a substantial amount. Each of these matzahs had to be, I think it's an omer, it's enough to eat a whole meal. And he can offer beyond that, besides what he can afford, Shima Maharin Nazir Al Menat Legaleach Al Me'a Olot. As you said, you're neder, I'm going to do this for 100 Olot, Val Me'a Shlamim, for 100 more Shlamim, Kefi Nidro Asher Yidor Kenyaset. That's what you have to offer. So basically, we're reading this as Avshalom is going to go to Hebron and he's going to cut his hair because he does that every year. And he's going to have this offer a carbon shlamim among everything else. And it's important to know that because the carbon shlamim has to be eaten, it has to be eaten that day. Source 11. If you offer a zevach shlamim, it has to be approved of. Yom zivchakem yachel macharan. Eat it that day and the next day. Can't save it. Can't smoke it. Leave it for other days. Natarad yom shlishi ba'eshi sarev. Burn the rest of it.
That day and the next day.
Right. So you have 2 days to eat your korban shlamim. Imachol yachel b'yom shlishi pigul hu lo yiratzeh. And if it's eaten on the third day, it's pigul. It is unacceptable. You can't do that. V'chol avonai yisa yekoret. Kodesh Hashem Chilel, and anyone who eats it the next day is Mechal Hashem Hashem, Nechrota Nefesh Ahim Yameh, it gets kares, cut off. So the point I'm trying to make is that is a lot of meat. One aisle, I actually looked this, you can find this up, obviously everything, in case you can find everything on the internet. You can go to the Lavender Fleece Farm, it's a nice organic sheep, and you can buy your rams. So this is a one-year-old sheep, 150 pounds. Yeah. About half of that is edible meat. Wow. Oh, here we go. We have how much meat do you get? So 90-pound lamb, you do 34 pounds. So this is going to give you about 60 to 70 pounds of meat from one aisle. You're not going to eat that in 2 days.
I guess he's expecting a lot of guests.
I was going to say, right, family?
That becomes the point of a shlamim, is that you have to share it. That's what pigul is that you have to invite friends. You have to invite family. I don't have that many friends to eat that much meat. I have to add complete strangers. I have to invite everybody to participate with us. And that's an essential point about what korban shlamim is about. It has to be shared, right? You've got this massive amount of bread, this massive amount of meat. Mm-hmm. And this is the shadal, we've talked about in the chumash before, suggests that the reasoning behind the law of pigul is akin to the gleaning. That's all of shichacha and peah that we left for the poor. It's in the Torah. It's one's right after the other one. In the beginning of kedoshim, that you have to offer it to the poor than the needy. You have to offer it to everybody because you have to get rid of it in those 2 days, and that's a lot of food. The Torah allowed the korban shlamim to be in an indefinite time period. The individual eats some, his family, close friends, the first few days after bringing it, then store it away and continue to celebrate. Keep in mind that Shlamim is brought from a flock of the herd, a large animal that cannot be devoured quickly. Since the Torah commands that Shlamim must be eaten on the day is offered on the morrow, the one bringing it will perforce share it with many others. That is what a Shlamim is. So if Avshalom is having a Karban Shlamim in Hebron, he's got to invite everybody there. So that's what I'm looking back. We have this pasuk before when we looked at Avshalom, when we talked about Avshalom and his hair. Last parak. And he would, that Avshalom would cut his hair once a year, and every annually at the same date. Because it was too heavy, and he would cut his hair. He would weigh the hair of his head. It was 200 shkalim in the official way. And I pointed out that's impossible. 200 shkalim is about 2 kilograms. A head of hair is about a tenth of that. And yeah, you can find that on the internet too, where people actually weigh their hair. You can find everything out. So that's far too much hair for anyone to have. That just seems unreasonable. Here we go. How much your hair weigh? Maximum weight about 5 pounds. Not 200 shkalim be 200 shekels would be 2,000 grams. 4 kilos, might be.
4 kilos is about like 9 pounds.
Right. It seems like a lot. And that's years of growing hands. That's not 1 year. So I can argue that the 200, the Matayim Shkalim is not what his hair weighed. He had his hair cutting and weighing ceremony and he showed off how much hair he had. But Matayim Shkalim is how much he paid for the party. That's the amount of money. Every year he would have this massive 200 shekel party. Because that's a lot. Because how much does an aisle cost?
Well, in today's shekels, it's cheap.
Right.
That's true.
But the Torah actually gives us a hint of that, because when it talks about one of these karbans, the Me'ilah karban, Torah 17, someone who takes kachim from the Beit Midash accidentally, negligently, has to bring a karban to atone for it. He has to bring his karban asham, ayal tamim and atzon, a ram, v'erkecha kesef shkalim. It's a 2 shekel. One ram is a minimum. It has to cost 2 shekalim. So it's 200 shekalim. Here is 100 rams he's offering. This is a massive part of shekel kodesh.
Wow.
That's kind of my thought of what he's doing here. He has every year had this massive party. So David is really not suspicious. What?
How many people do you need to eat 100 rams?
I don't know. Now remember, he's brought 200 people with him from Yerushalayim, besides everyone who is in Hebron. The Rebbe is certainly not suspicious that all these people are going with him, because he's done this every year, has this huge celebration, right?
Like a rally.
We do not make references to contemporary politics. <here. laughs> Yeah, that's a way of looking at it. Okay, I don't know if Trump serves food or not. But that's a good way to attract people.
Not what I answer.
Okay. So. Dov is not suspicious. He's inviting the Jerusalem elite to Hebron to join him with this. It's this massive thing. Obviously, everyone's going to go. Everyone's is fine with that. This time, obviously, Avshalom's got a different plan. He's been setting this up. Now he's got these people with him in Hebron. So this is the way the Gemara and the Yerushalmi and Sota looks at this conversation between David and Avshalom. And Avshalom's asking to go. Amar le David l'Avshalom. David says to Avshalom, Ma'ata ba'ikadun. So you want to go offer your carbon in Hebron? That's fine. What do you want from me? Amarlay. Avshalom says back to his father, Ketov chad petik. Write an order. I want you to authorize an invitation. You're the king. Nobody can leave without your permission. Author to train Guvrin me. That should go with me.
Who should go with him?
Let me take 2 people from Yerushalayim with me to go to Hebron. This is the way the Gemara is putting the story together. Two. Amar Leh, so David says back. Amar Leh Ma'ana Atbai V'anakatir. Tell me who you want to bring with you, and I'll write it as an official proclamation. No one's going to turn me down. Give me the names. Amar Leh, Avshalom says back. Tov Lasta. No, just leave the names blank. Ana Leman Dibai Ana Nisa. And I'll ask whoever I want. So Kadav Lestam, so David said that, you know, has a to the bearer, is ordered to go with Avshalom to Hebron. Azel but Samat Le train Gubrit. So he went and gathered together two people at a time, kept reusing the same invitation. You two, and they went to somebody else. Adid Samat Le Matan Gubrit. That's where he got 200 from. Did this 200 times. But David would be suspicious if, according to the Gemara here, if he actually had 200 people. So he's only inviting two at a time. He ends with these 200. That's why the Tapaska says, Resham halchu matayim each Yerushalayim, that 200 men came from Yerushalayim, kuriim v'holchim l'tumam, invited, going innocently. Kuriim mi David, emphasize that they were invited by David. Authorized by David, all these people are going. Obviously, David wants them to go. And completely innocent, not knowing what Avshalom was planning. They didn't even know that the other ones were coming. And said, oh, look, you're here. Fancy meeting you here in Hebron. And they didn't know anything about Achitofel. We're assuming Achitofel was involved in this planning, because he's the Yoetz. Rabbi Huna b'shem Rav Acha claims, they were all heads of Sanhedrin. They were judges. They were important officials. So now Avshalom is basically taking all the officials out of Yerushalayim, and they're with him at this massive party where he gets up in the middle and says, I am now the king. And all these innocent people who are there they're stuck, right? Is David going to believe them to say that they're not part of this conspiracy, even that they were there at this party, that this announcement there? And David, as far as he knows, has only authorized two of them to go. What are the rest of them there for? So as far as David knows, all these otherwise innocent, unknowing political leaders are forced basically to throw their lot in with Avshalom. Otherwise, they're obviously in rebellion. They'd be put to death by David. Avshalom has just neutralized all of David's political support. That's part two. He's got a conspiracy. He's got everyone out throughout the country. He's got all of Yerushalayim, all the Rashi Sanhedriot of Yerushalayim with him now. And if they don't want to join him, they're stuck in his city in Hebron. They're not going to get out. The last time Avshalom invited someone to a party, he had his brother murdered by his people, if you remember that. So I don't think none of these men are going to fight off Avshalom. The third thing he does is calls Achitofel. We talked about Achitofel before, that he's the grandfather of Bathsheba, and how he was basically turned against David after the story of Bathsheba. He's the chief military advisor to David, and this is the way that Pasuk describes him. We'll see that in Source 19. But Sat Achitofel, Asher Ya'atz B'Yimimahem, and Achitofel's advice, his counsel in those days, Kashe Yishal Ish B'Dvar Halokim, was like asking God. He was always right. Kein Kol Atzar Achitofel, and this is Achitofel's counsel, and he describes it in terms of military matters. The Achitofel was the brilliant strategist. That's why David always won. Gam David, both to David, Gam Avshalom, now he's on Avshalom's side. So David's in deep trouble. And basically that they never went to war without Achitofel. The Gemara describes that in Source 20. And David says, Amar Lahem, Lechu Pishtud Yedechem B'Gudud. Go into battle, go join the military camp. Miyad Yoatzim B'Achitofel. Immediately, that's the first thing they would do, would ask Achitofel how to do that. B'Nim Lachim B'Sanhedrin. Then they would ask the Beit Din for permission to go to war. B'Sholim B'Urim B'Tumim. And they would ask the Urim B'Tumim what to do. Everything starts with Achitofel. Similarly, source 21, Lo ya David ohev adam yoter me'achitofel. Achitofel is David's best friend.
He's going to betray him.
Yes, in a big way. We had a shiur called Frenemies, exactly about this. And the Perek Tehillim, Nun Gimel, I think it was, all about that. He was the one that he would learn with and argue with. He would give him the advice. He'd look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, talks about that you have to give respect to your Rebbe, even if you learn one thing from him. And he said the example of that was David giving respect to Achitofel. This is the way the Malbim looks at this. What happens to Achitofel? Verse 22. Shekefia Nira. It would appear, Sinat Achitofel David, the fact Achitofel hated David so much, because Shro im Avshalom, conspired with Avshalom, Nikva al Yedei Masazeh, was because of this incident of Bathsheba. Sheshamar lo Eva, Avor Shlachachet Nechto Bechazakah. And he kept this hatred in his heart because David had taken his granddaughter forcefully.
This supports your rape theory.
It does. I mean, this is the way the Malbim looks at it. I mean, I think I've got lots of arguments on my side. That's why I believe it, because I think it's right.
I have some.
Right. Okay. So at least I think you have to read it that Achitofel felt that Bathsheba was taken against her will. You may be able to read Bathsheba's actual motivations differently, but Achitofel looks at it that way, because otherwise it's hard to understand why he's betraying David. Kiluleza, because without for this, this is the Malbim's argument, Rachoku Efo, it is far-fetched to claim then that Achitofel, once he knows that David wants Shlomo to be the king, that would be his great grandson, would betray his great grandson in order to support Avshalom. Right? Shlomo is Ben Nechdo, the son of his granddaughter. Yebukshurim im Avshalom, Lasev Melucha Elav, to make Avshalom the king. That puts Shlomo into great danger. So presumably he's figuring that yes, that his hatred of David is going to outweigh the possibility of his descendant becoming the king.
Wow.
And Achitofel, we would say, seems to be the power behind pushing Avshalom all the while. This is the way the Mishpat Zahav puts it. That Avshalom, again, you should make the point that is this tkia tashofar, simply declaration, I want to be king, I don't want to kill anybody. But Avshalom, we're going to see that Achitofel is going to be pushing harder and harder to attack David. This is verse 23. It's the Mishpat Zahav, again, this is a contemporary commentary. Riti b'kihilat Yaakov, v'cheinu barichut barbanel. And I saw in a sefer called Kihilat Yaakov, and the barbanel deals with it a lot. Perisho, they explain, Avshalom lo ratza l'kichat et melucha midavir aviv, that Avshalom didn't really want to overthrow his father, take the kingship from him. Ratza l'imloch rak b'chebron. He would be satisfied just having authority locally. Just like his father was king in Hebron over Yehuda, and Kishbosho and the rest of the nation, he would be satisfied with just a little part. Moshe Malach David Bechevron, just like his father did in Hebron. Lifnei Shemalach al Kol Yisrael, before David became king over Israel. Bizman Sheishboshet Malach al Kol Yisrael, when Ishboshet was king over everywhere else. Uya Melach Rach al Yehuda Bechevron. That's when David was just king in Hebron. Avshalom would have been satisfied with that, at least as a start. Again, we kept arguing that Avshalom doesn't necessarily want to overthrow his father. He wants to be the next in line. He wants to be the heir apparent. Because his father's weak and is old, and his father's going to die in another 5 years anyway. He doesn't necessarily want to overthrow him. He just wants the authority. Just similarly the way David was in fact anointed to be the future king even when Shaul was still king. Even though Shaul was still king. That's what Avshalom wants. He wants the assurance that he's going to be the next king, not give it to that little twerp Shlomo. That's what right now Avshalom has realized that he's not going to get that declaration from David, so he's going to force the issue and say, I'm going to be authority in Hebron. That's all I'm doing here. Malach Avshalom b'Hebron. Kol yimei David aviv, as long as David is alive. L'achar p'tirato shel David, and after his father passed away, yikabel ba'ofen tivi, he'll naturally end up accepting et hamlucha al kol Yisrael. He'll become king of all Israel. That's the way you want to read this story here. Adei shehu mashuach melucha b'mei aviv, u'malach b'chevron. Since he's already been anointed to become the future king, he's already got the authority just locally, then obviously he would be the next king. Zuhay tat tachnito shel Avshalom asmo. This was Avshalom's plan. Lakopayim who bikesh shezeh ma shigel ozno shel David aviv. And at least, even if this isn't literally true, that really he wanted to overthrow his father, this is what he wanted his father to think. This is what he wanted his father to hear. Malach Avshalom b'Chevron, that's it. I'm not invading Yerushalayim. I'm just going to be right here and just give me the authority to be in charge of Hebron. Avshalom himlich atzmo al Hebron. That's all he wanted. I don't need a whole war. Achitofel, she asoneh David. Achitofel hated David so much. Hunatan eta etza. He's the one who gave the advice. Avshalom yeharog et David. Avshalom needs to go kill David. We'll see that next paragraph. Vafitziat atzmo lasot zot. And Achitofel actually volunteered to do this in actuality. Achitofel was the one who volunteered to take a force and go attack David and assassinate him. Amar l'kamam perak yitzayin, just like we'll see later next paragraph. Where Achitofel says, "Bakuma ve'erdafa achrei David halayla. Let me go and chase after David tonight. Bavoy love who yagev rafet, and I will come upon him, and he is weak and tired, rafet yadayim and helpless. Ve'charati oto, and I will wipe him out, etc. Biketi et hamelach vado, and I will kill the king myself, by himself." That's Achitofel's comment.
I don't like him.
I'm sorry?
We don't like him.
You don't like Achitofel. No, well, the Achitofel's end is horrifying.
What happens to him?
You want me to give the spoiler? I mean, you can read it and say, okay. So what happens is that he gives his advice to Avshalom. Avshalom doesn't listen to him. Doesn't want to attack his father. So Achitofel realizes that it's all going to fall apart. If they don't attack David now, David's going to come back. Achitofel goes home, puts his affairs in order, and hangs himself. Hmm. Like I said, that just comes up so suddenly, it's just a shock. Riti Lomar, and I would say, this is much more than saying, Shalakach Bikesh Avshalom, Gamet Dat Chushi Archi. So when it comes to this, where next parak, when Achitofel is arguing, we need to kill David. And Avshalom is hesitant and asks someone else, that's Hushi Arki, for advice, for different advice. Even though everybody listens to Achitofel, Achitofel is always right, knows exactly what to do. Avshalom doesn't listen first off, but he asks advice from someone else. He lo haya nira lo kol kach, because it didn't seem right to him. Mashi yitziat Achitofel rog David, that Achitofel was seeking to kill David. V'chashash, and Avshalom was worried, pen sinato shel Achitofel David, that maybe the fact that Achitofel hates David so much at this point, kikolato shura, messes his reasoning up, and he's being far too aggressive here. Bapam ein atzato tava, maybe now Achitofel's not right. He's pushing too hard. Given sheyesh lo nigiut, because he is nogeya b'davar, he is personally involved in this now. Sina ishit le David, he has his personal hatred for David, that's why. And that's why he also wanted to get the counsel of Hushi Arki, David, who is David's friend. David, that his advice was simply to capture David without killing him. We'll see all that later. That we'll see later on. And we have this. We see a little more positive picture of Avshalom here. You know, Avshalom really has a sense that he wants to do what's best for Yisrael. His father is too focused on this Beit HaMikdash thing. It's time for him to retire, time to make Avshalom the king, and it's not going to happen, so I'm going to force the issue, and everything follows one step at a time until everybody ends up being hanged.
He also seems obsessed with it, though.
He being Avshalom.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, he keeps pushing for this. He is not going to let this go. He wants to be next king.
I'm just saying he doesn't seem less obsessed with this than David was of like building a Beit HaMikdash or something like that.
I agree. I think you should, yeah, I don't think being a king is necessarily a good thing. The whole absolute power corrupts absolutely, and no one there to stop you. So let's look at, it's 9:42. Let's go a little bit further. So once we have Avshalom has made these plans, he's declared himself king of Hebron, he's got Ahitophel there with him, he's got all of the political elite of Yerushalayim with him, he's got spies throughout all of Israel with him. What's happening with David? Verse 24. And the news comes to David and says, Hayalev ish Yisrael achrei Avshalom. And they tell him, everyone's following Avshalom. He's declared himself king. We've taken a poll and 70% of the country wants Avshalom to be Melech, not you.
Wait, we're back in the text without skipping anything.
Yes.
So we don't have the piece where they do blow the shofar and he declares.
Right. Right. We do not have it. We're assuming this happens.
Yeah.
Right. We said that he's planning this. Now we're going back to Yerushalayim. Meanwhile, Avshalom is putting this plan into effect. Now we're moving back to Yerushalayim here. Mm-hmm. As this is going on, David's getting the news as well. So David tells all of his people who are still in Yerushalayim, "Kumu nivnivracha, we need to run." Right? Avshalom is going to come. We're not going to be able to fight him. He lo tia lenu pleitam if they Avshalom. We will not be able to be saved from Avshalom. If he attacks, we're going to lose. We know that. We can look at what's going on. Marul alechet. Let's go quickly. Pinyi maher b'sigag. He see Ganu, lest he hurry and catch up with us. V'diach alirat ra'ah, and it will bring out this evil among us. V'kai il v'charav, and he'll wipe out the city and the sword. We don't want to. We won't want Yerushalayim to be destroyed. We don't want a battle in Yerushalayim.
Yerushalayim. V'hadiach.
How does he translate v'hadiach? That's a good question.
It's an odd word, no?
That's Pasuk Yudalid.
Hadiach. The Hadiach Alei.
Yeah, he just brings to bring evil upon us. Hadiach. I don't know. That's the way it is. Okay, we will use the power of the internet to translate. Vicky Milon says, over here, Yidiach, and to bring from afar, to, in the sense of Ir and Yidachak is to seduce away, to bring to bad things. That's what they're connecting. So hidiach alei tara, he will. This is bring toward us, bring us. He will turn us basically into iri dachat, in that sense that we will be wiped out entirely.
It's like to veer off.
Like what?
To veer off the path.
Yes.
Does David know about Achitophel's involvement at this point?
No, he will get the news. That's explicit that he finds about Achitophel, and then he starts davening. He doesn't plan anything. Right now he's just running away. He starts davening as soon as he finds about Achitophel. So the servants of the king tell him, whatever you choose, that's what we'll do. We are your servants. We are loyal to you. And everyone leaves on foot out of Yerushalayim. And he leaves behind 10 of his concubines in the palace to keep things running. That's foreshadowing. And they are leaving Yerushalayim. They're all going step by step out of Yerushalayim on foot. And they go to the farthest house in Yerushalayim. And all of his servants are going before him. And all of the kretiu pleti, which we will have to talk about. We talked about it before, what exactly that is. Gitim ish asher mi God. And 600 gitim. God is a Plishti city. Remember, David used to be a Philistine warlord. When he defected from Shaul and joined Melech Gat. So he still has 600 of his friends, of his Philistine friends that came with him from Gat, with him. So that is, at this point, almost 40 years later. So he's leaving, but he's not leaving in a panic. They're going step by step. And they recamp at the Beit HaMerchak. We'll see they're going to go step by step. They're going to leave the city. They go Nachal Kidron to the east. They're going to go up to Har HaZeitim, and they're going to kind of move out from there, and will eventually end up in Machanayim on the other side of the Jordan. Once we watch all that. He goes in stages. He goes first. Everyone leaves the palace complex, and then to the outskirts of the city, that's the Beit HaMerchak, and then leaves. Everyone goes behind. And everyone goes outside of the city itself, one step at a time. He's gathering all the people who are still loyal to him, and that's Asher. That pasuk there, and the idea of what it says with kol ha'am. Where am I looking at my words over here? B'chol beito braglav. That expression of braglav, they're those who depend on him. We see that in Shemot where it says b'chol ha'am asher braglecha. Yitro tells Moshe all this people who are literally on your legs. Halchim achar atzadcha v'hulacha, the ones who follow your advice. Once you're walking in your footsteps, literally. And he goes out. He's got his household. He's got the crazy plate, and he's got the gitim.
So is that a little play on the word that they went by foot, and they were the people
who were going? I like that. Yeah, I didn't think about that. So they literally they were going on. They're not going out in caravans. They're not going, but also they are going braglei David. These are the ones who are still going in David's footsteps, still loyal to him. And who are the Kretiu Pleti? We've talked about that before. We saw them before. When it talks about David back in Perachet, and this is the way it's worded in Divrei Yamim. Emloch David al kol Yisrael. David was king over all Israel. Vayhi oseh mishpat utzakal kol amo. And he was doing justice for everyone. That was the happy ending part.
Yeah.
We lost that. Uvenehu ben Yehuyada al haKretiu Pleti. Uvenehu ben Yehuyada, one of his advisors, was on the Kretiu Pleti. What is that? And the Targum Yonatan says that was his private military force. Surah 27. No, Vayehu Yada, Mimanya was in charge. Al Kashtaya va'al Kla'aya. Well, on the archers and the dagger. I don't know. What's the word for someone who wields a dagger?
Swordsman.
Yeah.
Infantry.
That's it. So different from the army, but that is his own personal army. The Radak says, Yish Mefarshim, Kretiu Pleti, Shnei Mishpachot Hayu. Those are the names of two families. Yisrael, she is Sarim, Kel, Mashvot HaMelech. They were ministers to the king. Im Penav Tamin, they were always with him. Benayahu Yabrosham, and Benayahu was the head of them. So Kretiu Pleti could just be a name of particular tribes, particular nations. Doesn't help us knowing what's going on. So the Gemara actually assumes that Kretiu Pleti were the part of the civil administration. Excuse me. I have lots of unread messages. I'll get that in a moment. Okay. Sorry. I'll get that later.
Kretiu Pleti sounds like Pliny Almoni, but you're saying it is actually someone.
Kretiu Vaha Pleti. Two different things, and right. It may know, it ought to be something.
Right.
You don't really know. Because the Gemara basically says that they were what we would call the Sanhedrin. It was a civil administration. That's those the ones who went with David. Here's Reno Thomas, verse 29. The Kreti Pleti Hanya Sanhedrin. Shekortin to Raham, that they decide their words, Amitan, that they cut their words to the truth. Pleti Shemuflim Bahara, that they teach Torah. They give guidance. Kamumufla to Bebet Din, that as it announced, that's Kiyuflam in Chaderach, that things are too strange or too wondrous for you, you don't know the answer. So Kreti Pleti is another expression for what we would later call Sanhedrin, the judges. So we could read it either way. Other times it certainly looks like a military force. We don't know, but they are still loyal to David. And I could say that, I would actually argue that both are right. That David's administration consisted of his military people. He appoints his generals to be in charge of everything else. And we'll see that when we look at David's Giborim, we read them both as being military heroes, but also as what the Gemara calls Tamidei Chachamim, but still ones who calls the civil administration. He doesn't make a distinction there. David basically is a military leader. That's what a king is at that point. And the other force that Britain comes with him are these Gitim, these Philistines. And at this point, I would stop here and we'll look at them again, because we have to go with going back 40 years before, when David was basically a Philistine general, and how they stayed loyal to him all this time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop here, and we will continue on with how David's response to Absalom's
Danny,
rebellion. Yes.
I just have a very vague memory of the story that when they captured a city and there were certain people who stood on the walls and they were blind.
Yeah, that was Yerushalayim.
So what were they called?
The Ivrim Upischim, literally blind in the land.
Okay.
So we said that and that.
I don't know, this Pleti Kreti reminds me.
Right, that's not the same thing, right? So we understood that Pshat and Ivrim Upischim was the text way of referring to Avodah Zarah.
Oh.
And Naim Lahem Velo Yiru, was Naim Lahem Velo Yishma'u, that you had to defeat the Avodah Zarah of Yerushalayim.
That's when the Jebusites were still there.
Right. Right. The Yevusim were the ones who said that you cannot come here unless you defeat the Ivrim Upischim.
Okay.
A slightly different word.
Slightly.
Okay.
I also, sorry, Ellie wanted me to apologize. We have like multiple weddings and bat mitzvahs today, so he had to jump to.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, that part was
that's
Zoom.
That's a good problem.
All Zoom, everything.
All Zoom. We had a bris, two bat mitzvahs, a wedding, and this class. And now we're doing the Father's Day thing.
So unfortunately, you can't do. Right, Zoom doesn't let you have multiple meetings at the same time.
Right, but at least you don't have to travel. You can just turn off the computer and switch to another Zoom.
Well, mazel tov, I guess.
Mazel tov, thanks.
See you.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.